Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is a Hat Trick podcast.
Oh, lovely.
Do you remember your sex education? Was it helpful to you? Was it filled with scientific information rather than real, practical advice? I'm Diggory Waite, and this is The Real Sex Education. In this podcast, I'll be interrogating sexual myths, posing sex questions to special guests, and opening up our mailbox to answer your relationship conundrums. In order to do this, though, I need an expert. A sexpert, if you will. But the only sex and relationship therapist I know is my mum. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Hello, and welcome to The Real Sex Education After School. I'm Diggory Waite, and I'm joined, as ever, by accredited sex and relationship therapist, Kate Campbell. Hello, Mum.
Hello, Diggs.
Mum, we are going to sort of take a trip down memory lane today, in the sense of we are taking questions that actually relate to things we've spoken about in previous episodes.
Oh, interesting.
A few episodes we might talk about. We'll be talking about the cheating episode, we'll be talking about the sexting episode, and we'll be talking about the ghosting episode. There's a lot of episodes that got people thinking, and clearly they've sent in their messages from those. So shall we get started?
Yeah, go for it.
If you at home want to send us a question that Mum can answer, you can send them in to us.
Don't send me one I can't answer.
exactly. Purely ones that Mum can answer around sex and relationships, stuff like that. We are at the RSC Pod on Instagram, TikTok and X,
formerly known as Twitter.
And we are podcasts@hatchet.com if you want us to answer it on email. We always keep you anonymous, but if you don't want to be anonymous, let us know your name and say, I don't want to be anonymous. But otherwise, it is totally anonymous. So let's have a question. Here we go. I listened to your episode on if cheating can be forgiven, and I don't know what to do. A friend helped me use DBT to write out what to say without anger. Going to try it tonight. DBT, what
DBT?
It says here DBT.
DBT.
It says dialectical behavior therapy.
Yes, absolutely.
What's DBT?
It's a very particular kind of therapy which helps people to consider other people's feelings, and it's for people who have difficulty thinking about thinking.
Interesting. Oh, wow. Okay. Mm. That's kind of hard to wrap my head around. Maybe I've got it. Okay. So a friend helped me to use DBT to write out what to say without anger. Mm-hmm. Going to try it tonight. That is good. That's very good. I found out my husband has been messaging/sexting a woman on OnlyFans. Mm. It's hard for me to not feel wrong because I searched his iPad, but also wanted to know why he was being so distant. I just recovered from some health issues, and during the issues, sex just wasn't really happening because I was in pain. So I totally get he would watch porn, but to me, paying to get off by someone online crossed the line. I was going to leave, but thought about how we've never had the conversation in what counts as cheating, and maybe he thinks it was an innocent thing. I hope our conversation goes okay. But even after listening to that episode where we suggested you should have the conversation and stuff, I don't know what to do. We've been together for 15 years and married for one, and I just don't get why he would do this. I don't know if I can continue on without seeing the messages he sent in my head.
Yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? To once you know something, you can't unknow it. But maybe you could open the conversation by talking about how you both think your relationship is at the moment.
Yeah, and it's hard. Yeah, but I suppose. But could that not come across as long as you don't do it in a loaded way, but could that not come across and goes, hey, babe, how do you think our relationship's going? And he goes, yeah,
anything you want to tell me?
Yeah, and then they go, yeah, no, it's going well. And you go, yeah, yeah, what about the iPad then? What about the OnlyFans?
Yeah,
who's this? But could that conversation, doesn't it feel like it would maybe go that? Because what if they go, yeah, it's going well, and you go, okay.
Well, no, because but I think it would be more along the lines of, oh, I was worried about it because things felt a bit different. And you know, I did this terrible thing. I looked on your phone and I saw this stuff and it really worried me. But, you know, it sounds like you're saying I don't need to be worried.
God. Because I do wonder whether actually maybe that is a good way of opening up the conversation, because you can come to them and be like, listen, I did something bad, but this is because of the way that I felt. I felt like we were distant. I went looking, and to be fair, I did find something. This has made me feel like X. This has made me feel like Y. So focusing on you and how that's made you feel, and be like, yeah, and then open
the
floor
to
them.
But if you go straight in with a confession, you're already wrong-footing yourself. If you say, how do you feel we are, you're putting yourself on an equal plane, like. And then you can say, well, phew, that's a relief, because not in a sarcastic way or, you know, a silly way, but just like, phew, I was a bit worried because, and then it's you're continuing the conversation.
This is why this question is so interesting, because there's so many layers to this, because this isn't like he's texting someone from work. This is why OnlyFans and that feature where you can message the creators and models and stuff on there is really interesting, because I've talked to some people about this, just friends and stuff, and I've posed that question, you know, if your partner's watching porn, would you mind? Almost always they're like, no. But I said, if your partner was subscribed to an OnlyFans model, would you mind? They were like, I think a bit more, particularly if it was just one or two. Whereas, and I'm like, yeah, but what if they were texting them as well, using that feature where you can pay to text them? They were like, well, then I'd really mind. And so most people would be like, oh, if you were sexting your colleague from work, that would clearly be wrong. So there's that. Then there's the element of that you've had to go through his iPad to find it. So this one feels really tough. And then you say you haven't had that conversation, but I do think maybe you can phrase it as, okay, but listen, this has, you know, by hook or by crook, I found out this information. And I'm not going to lie, it's not made me feel great. I am worried I can't unsee it. And I think we need to have a conversation about what is and isn't cheating. And then see if we can go on from there. But
you're jumping the gun hugely. I mean, give the person a chance. Right, now we need to have a conversation, and now there's this, and now there's that, I'm a bit worried. And hang on a minute, I mean, they're just digesting that you've been through their iPad.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're setting up as, well, I'm glad things are okay, because I was really worried and I should have spoken to you before doing this, but I panicked and looked through your...
I think just for people, because I'm struggling with this idea that it's like, oh, phew, you've said the relationship's fine, and I meant to take that genuinely. I think in this scenario,
so you think,
do you know what I mean?
They're just going to say it's fine and not mean it.
Yes. But the thing is, but this is why it's so good to talk to you about this, is, and this is the thing, we can only really take people at what they're saying. Do you know what I mean?
Why do you and why do they think it's not fine if they're in touch with OnlyFans? I mean, I think people, because you can do these things, people possibly do things that they wouldn't have thought of. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
For a personal example.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. So I got this message this morning saying, do you know how much money you can make selling pictures of your feet?
Right.
And I thought, no, I don't know, but I quite like to know, because I have wonderful feet. As you know,
my feet
are my best feature, right? If I could put my feet on my head, you know, I'd be a goddess.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I can't. They're the other end. And I thought, I wonder how much I could make. And then I thought, don't be silly, you're not going to sell pictures of your feet. But just for a split second there, I was thinking, that could be a thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if somebody messages me again, I might think it again. You know, how many times does temptation have to come your way before you act?
That is true. And let's say you're on OnlyFans, you're already horny, you're already maybe, and sometimes, you know, because of how people treat porn and all that sort of stuff, it's a personal thing, it's maybe a secretive thing to go off and masturbate to it or whatever, but you're looking at this OnlyFans model, that option is there, you're already paying probably to be subscribed to them, so you're like, well, I do like their content, and the thing's there, so I could just pay to do it. And then it's
you're making it sound as though the person would be thinking, I know this is wrong, I'm going to do something.
Yeah, and you're right,
they don't think that at all. They think this is a perfect... What is the difference? I mean, things have evolved. There was a time, not that long ago, where porn was a magazine, where porn mainly was, you know, you would buy a magazine on the top shelf in a back room in the newsagent, people, that's what porn was. And then VHS videos came along and it was that. And it's just evolved over time. So now OnlyFans is as normal as the top shelf magazine. It is completely normal. So it's what these people have understood that's the important thing. What people think is okay and is normal. That's up to them, isn't it? So we're making all sorts of assumptions that this is a couple that have the same ideas about things, and clearly they don't.
But this is why I said, as part of what I said before you ruthlessly shot it down, you know, because you're like, oh, you're getting ahead of yourselves. Let them explain themselves, which you're right, they should be able to. But that's why I said maybe they need to, even though it might be the horse may have bolted at this point, they need to have that conversation about what is and isn't cheating for the both of them. Because... I get your point, and I think you have to try your best with this DBT or whatever to try and think that, and try and, if they say that, truly believe them. Say, if they say they didn't realize that was wrong, it's on a sort of porn website. It is like, and for me personally, I'd be like, if my partner was watching porn, I would not give two hoots. If they started texting OnlyFans model, I would start to care at that point, because for me, that has become a parasocial relationship more than it was just with your favorite porn star. It's now become a bit like real for my liking.
Yeah, but you know, say for instance, you really fancy Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yep. You know, Harry Styles more likely these days. You've really fancy Harry Styles, and Harry Styles is on X. You know, you could, or Threads or something, and you can message Harry Styles, and Harry Styles might see your message and reply or like it.
Yeah.
You've made contact. Now, obviously, you know, if someone's a bit less famous and a bit more get at-able, it might be a bit more realistic that they're going to start a relationship. But actually, they're probably not, are they? Because the person on OnlyFans wants to make money. They don't want to have a relationship. They want cash. So they're not looking for a sexual partner. They're looking to make money.
I know what you mean, but also, you know, unless Harry Styles is messaging me pictures of his knob, like this is a bit different. No, but I get what you mean. But is there not a level of let's be real here?
It's what
I know. You're saying they're not. I know what you're saying. That they're not going to start a relationship with this person, but they are sending each other explicit messages and explicit pictures. Unlike
for
me,
money,
messaging my
for money. If you're not, if Harry Styles was sending you pictures of his knob for no money, that would be more worrying, wouldn't it?
Just to confirm. Harry Styles isn't sending anyone pictures of his knob
Harry Styles,
for any money
is,
or
we're
free.
Not
we don't know.
Harry
this
Styles
is completely
of doing this. He's not doing it. This is all hypothetical.
Yeah.
We're,
exactly.
We're just picking him because he's famous, right?
Yeah,
and fanciable. Yeah, by everyone. Yeah,
yeah.
So if Harry was doing that, then there would be something to complain about, because you wouldn't know money would be exchanging hands. I mean, like, for instance, if somebody bought you a box of chocolates or bought your girlfriend a box of chocolates or something, and you were saying, why did that person buy you a box of chocolates? What do they want to give you a box of chocolates for? Whereas if your girlfriend said, no, the man in the shop didn't buy me a box of chocolates. I gave him money for this box of chocolates. I bought it myself. Then you'd say, phew, wouldn't you? You'd say, oh. But if you thought that the man in the shop had bought your girlfriend a box of chocolates, then you'd be worried. It's exactly the same.
And it is funny, because there was, I think this is on TikTok or something, like a few years ago now, but this woman was getting really pissed off because someone at work had baked this guy a cake.
Mm-hmm.
And it was another woman. And she was like, why she baked you a cake? And he was like, oh, it was my birthday. And she was like, what the fuck? No money had changed hands there, though. But she was still really pissed off. But maybe that's just quite funny and like.
But it's a gift with worth because of the care and consideration, and actually that's going back to what we were talking about before last time about friendships.
Yeah.
And what they signify and how people can get jealous of friends and it can interfere with the relationship. Well, you know, you need to know the context for all of this, really.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay, just before we move on from this as well, because we had two more messages in about that sort of thing, but more just general musings on it, which might help us with our answer.
Okay.
As a pro nude slash sexter, I completely back Diggory. Just... Ooh. Frere and at the back. I completely back Diggory on this one, but I loved how much your episode touched on cheating in modern relationships. In my opinion, intent is what determines whether or not something is cheating or innocuous fun, but would love to hear both your thoughts on an episode dedicated to this. Sincerely yours. And they've sent three aubergine emojis and two water spray emojis. Now,
hang on a minute. What did you say? What is it that this person backs you? What was your opinion that I must have differed from?
I think because I was pretty pro sexting and no nudes. I think that's what they're trying to say.
And was I not?
No, but that's unfair because I cast you as the person who was anti it. I didn't really give you a chance to be pro it as well. I was the one being like, I'm going to give you all the reasons for, and I want you to shoot them down. I sort of gave you the role of, yeah, so actually we could both be for them. Anyway, that's not the point. But remember this, they said, in my opinion, intent is what determines whether or not something is cheating or innocuous fun. So the intent here, we can assume, is one of three things. He just wants to have innocuous fun, which I think is probably it. And he doesn't want it to affect his relationship at all. Two, he wants to have...
Well, it probably doesn't occur to him that it might affect his relationship.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah. That's what I think we can assume with the intent there. However, on the flip side, we got a message saying this. Ooh. Cheating is in the eyes of the beholder. It's as simple as that.
What does that mean?
With a little kiss. Well, in the sense of, if I think it's cheating. Then it's cheating.
Well, but this is so difficult because if you don't know that it's cheating, how can you be in trouble for doing it? I mean, if you say, well, if you talk to your male friend at work, or if your friend at work, you know, who is a woman and you're a man, bakes you a cake, then something's going on. I mean, you can't, what would you do? You can't really say to your friend, well, it's very kind of you to bake me a cake, but I'm afraid I can't accept it because my girlfriend would be really furious.
My husband threw a brick at the wall because he was so pissed off about the cake that you baked before.
Because, you know, the beholder may be crazy.
Yeah, but then again, if they're crazy, let's say, sorry, crazy beholders, but even if they're crazy, then it's still, I guess it's still breaking their cheating boundary. And the good thing is because they're crazy, everyone will break their boundaries. They'll be really upset and then back themselves a corner.
I mean, the thing is, you have to know what the boundaries are. And I mean, there are some people who will constantly say things like, well, I'm really pissed off with you, Diggory. And you'll say, why? And you'll say, well, you know.
Well, that's
absolutely hopeless. And there are loads of people that do that. And it's really not helpful.
So let's get back to our advice for this then. So they should have this conversation, and you think, go in there with, how are things? Because she did say that she'd noticed that they'd been more distant and the sex has suffered because of their health issues and stuff like that. So there's lots of things to talk about. And actually, this is a good chance to do exactly what you said and have this relationship checkup and be like, actually, maybe this isn't best for either of us. And you can say your thing and hear what they have to say about it. And maybe, whether it's that in the same conversation or in the future, have that conversation where you sort of establish the rules, so to speak. Rules sounds a bit strict, but you know what I mean? Like, say, this is what I think cheating is, and this is what... Because they might, like you say, they might say, listen, it was just another type of porn to me, which, like they say in their email, would have been fine if it was just porn, but this takes the biscuit. And I would agree with them personally, but that's just my personal view, but they might not know that. So then I still think it's up to them afterwards to whether they truly can forgive or let it go in themselves and continue in the relationship.
I mean, if that's not acceptable to you, then that's a conversation definitely to have.
Yeah.
But it might be that, you know, your partner has been looking at you, you know, sort of around the house, feeling not very well and looking pale and gorgeous, and been really turned on. And, it could be you they're thinking about, you they're missing. That's very possible, isn't it?
I mean, yes, you're the therapist here. I just feel like there'll be people going, are you really? but I think this is really good. This feels almost like this DBT thing of like thinking about the opposite Because this is what I might feel, but people, not everyone's me. I might think they are, but not everyone's me. And this is these are possible other, genuine other ways of thinking. And this DBT thing sounds great. This advice from you, Mum, I think is great, because it's like, you know, genuinely, as best as you can, believe that this could be fine.
I think you should always, always be curious. You know, it's really important to always be curious and not assume you know, especially, you know, when there's someone else involved. You can't just say, well, obviously, you understand how I feel, and obviously you're wrong about what you've been doing, because you don't know what they've been thinking. It might everything might not have crossed their minds, or they may be very aware and go, yeah, you know, busted. I'm really sorry. It just, you know,
it was a line I crossed, and you're right. But I won't do it again, and whatever. Mm. Yeah. I mean, please give us a follow-up pup on that one.
Because, yeah, we'd love to know.
We would love that. Okay, let's answer another one when we come back right after the break. We are back with another question from one of our listeners. This one reads as such. What does love bombing look like in not such an extreme context? Brackets. Does love bombing show itself on a smaller scale as well? I was recently dating this guy, and after two great dates, all of a sudden, he started being distant, cancelled date number three, and we stopped talking as frequently. There were days where he didn't even talk, and now he's ghosted me. Everything feels weird, almost like I made up this relationship in my head. I don't know what to do. Should I text? Should I move on? How do you move on from a relationship that was purely good? He wasn't a bad guy. He didn't treat me wrong. So how do I move on?
I mean, you just have to, don't you? I mean, no choice with this. It's just, you know, they've gone. But that's not love bombing.
This is interesting, because I looked up love bombing to try and find a more... because I think it is used, I think, in two tiers as well. I think love bombing can be someone at the beginning. So in this context, they're saying, well, he seemed up for both the dates. They were nice dates. They seemed keen at first.
No. Love bombing is over the top. Love bombing is where somebody is sort of saying, oh, I've never felt such a connection with anyone. We should think about getting married. You're wonderful. I've never felt like this before. Oh, you're amazing. You know, all of that stuff. I just love it. Oh, you're beautiful. Oh.
It's a literal bomb. And that's exactly it. Because when you look it up properly online, it says love bombing is a term used to describe a manipulative and controlling behavior, often seen in the early stage of a romantic relationship. Like you said, excessive flattery, affection, attention to win over and emotionally manipulate the person. They use these tactics, you know, overwhelming attention, rapid escalation, gifts and grand gestures, isolation as well, attempting to isolate the target from friends and family, controlling behavior, all that sort of stuff. Like you say, by saying these really over-the-top crazy things, like, you know, whereas I think it has been somewhat diluted, and that term has been reused by other people. But this person rightfully says, they say, what does love bombing look like in not such an extreme context? And maybe
is, it has to be seen in the context of what happens next, because somebody might just be, you know, just be very sort of over the top generally, and they might continue to be over the top. But it's when they're very over the top at the beginning, and then they make it slightly harder to get that level of attention, and gradually it tails off, gradually, gradually, gradually. So you're making the person try harder. Well, this isn't gradually tailing off. They've just disappeared. They've gone.
They've gone. They've ghosted. Exactly.
So it's not like that.
Yeah.
My guess is that this person was getting over another relationship and their ex is back on the scene.
It often is something as simple as that. Or, you know, the unfortunate thing of that, you know, it's the modern dating game. All these apps give you a plethora of choice. You might have some nice dates, but then there's this nagging thing in the back of your head that goes, ooh, but my phone has thousands of other people on it, and maybe there's something better around the corner. And maybe they went on a date with someone else, which would be sad. But like you say, it's usually an ex comes back on the scene or something else happens. And the thing is, they might seem really into the first couple of dates, and because they are. And I genuinely believe they probably were into those dates, but things happen. 2 weeks is a long time in politics. The landscape changes, and it's really upsetting when you're the person who's left behind, because you're sort of like, oh, but you just don't know what's going on for them. There could be so many reasons as to why they've ghosted. I mean, listen to our episode. There's loads of reasons, but I don't think it's necessarily love bombing. It just sounds like two great dates. And unfortunately, even despite that, for whatever they're looking for, or whatever their scenario, they've noped out. But to be honest, you don't want to be with that anyway. They sound flaky.
No. And I mean, you know, when you say they're great dates, you know, they maybe they were great for you, but not for the other person.
Oh, God, yeah.
There's always that. I mean, you don't really know what they're thinking. And in the
where's your optimism gone from the first half? Fuck.
Well, when you're looking at somebody through the eyes of a crush, you know, you're full of hormones and stuff, and you don't see the downside. So it's very possible that this relationship wasn't as wonderful. Those couple of dates weren't as great as you thought they were.
Oh God. But let's say that my theory is true and they're looking on their phone being like, well, that was great. I bet with the thousands of other people on my phone, maybe there's better around the corner. Meanwhile, on the flip side of that, you're thinking, well, those dates were great. How am I ever going to get out with someone else? Have some of that energy. You have just had two great dates with someone. Yes, they weren't the right person, but that means by golly, by gosh, you can find another one and you're going to have two great dates with them. And guess what? Even more from then on. So get back out there. Get back on the saddle.
I do think people tend to get very hung up over relationships and feel that they've got to hang on to a relationship or it's a big failure and there's loads of shame involved and it's they care more about being in a relationship than the quality of the relationship. In a couple of dates, you really can't say that you've lost much. You know, it was only a couple of dates, and for all you know, they were an axe murderer. You know, you might have dodged a bullet.
I think it was Proust himself that said, love is the imagination or something like that. He said something about love is actually the time apart that you have from someone or something. And he's basically like, it's like your imagination, your thoughts about them. And I know that sounds a bit crazy, but remember, you've talked about this person. You've been on two dates. You talked about this person love bombing you. You might have thought this is really great and amazing. Fine. But you might have then been skipping ahead and thinking about what the future might be and much fun you're going to have. You know, you might have started falling in with, you might have got an idea of who you thought this person was, but you might have started falling in love with that. Mm. And actually, they've proven to you that they're something different. You know, in some ways, isn't that the beauty of this whole situation that you can love and hurt so desperately? But also, you know, the crashing reality is they are gone. But do give that fucking thing of being like, well, fuck them. You know, that's not great.
Do what Proust did, eat cake.
Did he?
Yeah, he liked cake.
I'd need to double check. That's actually a Proust quote as well. For people watching on YouTube, if it's not Proust that said that, you're going to watch my mouth move, but my words say something different as I re-record it and put it in differently. I do fear that second question, we weren't as nice than the first one. But I really think, you know, you've had two great dates. You're clearly a lovely person. You listen to this podcast. You're doing something right. Get back out there. You're going to find good stuff.
Absolutely.
Well, the rest of you, if you want to be given, you know, unbelievable optimism by mum, or and then in the same episode just be savaged, then do message us in with any and all questions you have, hopefully related to sex and relationships, but if not, so be it. And make sure you're subscribed and following us where we are as well. And you know what? Leave us a review. It's really easy to leave reviews at the moment. Five stars, perhaps, on Apple. Five stars, perhaps, on Spotify or wherever else. That, you know what? I've been reading up on it. Really helps with the algorithm and gets us up the charts. Yeah, new listeners, but also reviews. So please do review us. And if you want to write a little review, we may even read it out on the show as well. So, yeah, exactly. So,
and tell us how our advice has gone.
Yeah, keep following up because, you know, you could come back to us and be like, oh my God, Kate, thank you so much. Your optimism really helped. Me and my partner have done this, that, and the other. And we've really, or you come back and be like,
oh, you've ruined my relationship.
Fucking bitch. And I hate you. Yeah. You know what you've done? I really feel for this person because this person sounds, with the DBT and stuff, I'm like, I just want to give you a big bloody cuddle. And then send you off to have a go at your boyfriend. not have a go, we said. Anyway, listen back to the first half. You know what to do. Right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe, like we say. So we'll see you next time for some more real sex education. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to The Real Sex Education, which is hosted by Diggory Waite and Kate Campbell. The show is produced by Diggory Waite, and the executive producer is Claire Broughton. The Real Sex Education is a Hattrick podcast.
This podcast is based on the real-life relationship between Diggory Waite and his mother, accredited sex therapist Kate Campbell. The show is therefore inspired by, but otherwise unrelated to, the TV show Sex Education. But yes, Diggory does wish his mother was played by Gillian Anderson.